Greetings and salutations. What's goody, folk? Welcome back to your Spiritually Logic podcast, where I am your host, coach, and creator of all things soul-driven, soul-intended. I am your host, once again, Bryce Bryson. Now, in this particular episode, we are going to talk about karmic ties and divine connections. So, we'll kick things off with, what is a karmic tie? So, have you ever wondered if your relationship was meant to be? It may have been, but that doesn't necessarily mean the two of you are soulmates. It could be a karmic relationship. So, let's get into what a karmic relationship is, plus the common signs you might be in one. So, a karmic relationship is a relationship meant to facilitate the lessons we need to learn in this lifetime surrounding love and partnership. A karmic relationship might be thought of as a type of soulmate relationship, as it is a connection of two souls, though it's different from twin flames or soulmates that are healing in nature. More likely than not, we'll each have one of these karmic relationships in our lifetime. It's the love that pushes your buttons and pushes you to grow. But these relationships aren't exactly smooth sailing. From a spiritual point of view, the idea behind karmic relationships is that the two of you made an arrangement before your souls entered this lifetime to help each other on your respective paths. Very often, per Dr. Margaret Paul, there are numerous unresolved issues from past lives. When people are open to learning rather than try to control each other, then much healing can occur. In this way, karmic relationships are like guides or teachers, and usually they're temporary. They're meant to help you grow at a soul level in often difficult push-pull ways, says Shannon Kaiser, author of The Self-Love Experiment. But usually they are not intended to last a long time. This is because you are coming together in this life to clear karma between each other. It's often a balancing out of a bad experience from the past life, or from a past life. So with that said, you may be wondering, what are the signs that I'm in a karmic relationship? Well, one of the first signs is there is an instant connection. The most obvious sign is you feel that you've known the person before. Paul says, sometimes you get a very good feeling about this, but sometimes there is some fear attached depending on what the karma is. Next up is there is a lot of drama. These relationships are tumultuous. If drama is the foundation for your love affair, chances are you're in a karmic relationship, says Kaiser. Thirdly, things feel off early on. Did you notice a lot of red flags, even in the early stages of the relationship? Sometimes those triggers are part of the very lesson the relationship is meant to teach you. They oftentimes make you feel frustrated. If you feel frustrated and misunderstood, you are most likely in a karmic relationship, Kaiser adds. This is because karmic relationships aren't about a perfect union. They're about growth. They oftentimes are unpleasant to be around for whatever reason, and it may be a feeling you can't quite place. You find their presence to be heavy and begrudging. Yet despite the unpleasantry, you don't want to let go. They're addicting. Karmic relationships quickly become all-consuming, even despite the aforementioned issues like inexplicable tension or frustration. There's also a lot of miscommunication. Lord, I just almost made up a word, miscommunication. Well, it's a word now, I mean. Usually there's a lot of push and pull and miscommunication, Kaiser notes. These miscommunications can help us show or can help show us what we value and expect in a relationship or where healing needs to take place. As well as there are a lot of highs and lows. Things are never quite consistent, and while you may have good, even wonderful days where everything seems perfect, there's a part of you that knows it's only a matter of time before things go south. And they're oftentimes repetitive in nature. Those highs and lows tend to repeat themselves over and over again, the same issues. Similarly, you may run into, again, the same issues that carried over from a past relationship, indicating the lesson that needs to be learned. It's the same thing with school. You spend a certain amount of time during the school year learning lessons or different subject matters. Then comes the end of the school year, where you take some may call finals, final exhibitions, and in my case, in my high school, to see if you have learned from the lessons that have been taught. Not only have you learned the lessons that have been taught, but can you apply the lessons to the test? And at that point, what happens? If you have learned, and if you have effectively applied what you've learned, you pass on to the next grade, the next level, a new beginning. But if you failed the test, regardless if you've learned or not, and if you've learned and still didn't apply the lessons learned, what happens? You fail. And what do? You have to repeat that grade again. Or in spirituality, you have to repeat that cycle again until you not only learn the lesson, but you apply it so that you can move on to the next stage. And that's what happens here in life, in spirituality, and in karmic relationships. Okay? These karmic relationships can also become codependent. And they become codependent quickly. You may feel there's no other option but to give them all of your time and all of your energy, which can be draining. They shine a light on your fears. This karmic person will bring all of your fears to the surface about love, about your future, about your relationship together in general, and about your insecurities. Any past traumas will be brought to light, so there's no running from it. They will also bring out the worst in you. The extreme nature of the karmic relationship roller coaster can bring the worst out of the most level-headed of people. You may turn into someone you don't even recognize or even like when you're around this particular person and or energy. And they also make you feel exhausted. All the ups and downs, miscommunications, codependent energies become energetically, mentally, and emotionally exhausting, and even physically in some extreme cases. Especially when they're around. And even with all of that said, you feel like you can't let go. You may even make excuses for your partner despite all of these things because your connection is so strong and you feel like you're meant to be. And you may have been meant to be for that moment, but not for eternity. Come on. Which is why they don't last. Eventually, when the time is right and the work and healing have been done, you will both move on. Hopefully, both of you, but at least you will move on. Amen. Let's get it. So, what happens when karmic relationships turn toxic? Even two well-meaning people in love can wind up having a toxic relationship, especially with a karmic connection. Now, according to Kaiser, it becomes toxic when you don't trust yourself, your intuition, or your gut instinct, or, as I previously said, learn the lessons presented to you, not only learning, but applying them. And that if your soul is suffocating, it's time to take stock and give yourself permission to leave. You don't need permission from your partner. Give yourself permission to leave. Take your power back. Unless people know how to learn from unresolved issues in the past, they can create huge problems in the relationship, expecting the other person to heal when they are supposed to enter into a relationship, a partnership, a connection already healed. Yes? Amen. So if you've ever found yourself in a relationship with a narcissist, and y'all know this is my thing, dealing with narcissists and blowing their shit out the water, you may understand this all too well. If you are ignoring red flags because he or she's so fine, that booty big, she's shaved, or whatever it is, or negotiating with your own feelings against your gut instinct, your intuition, this can be an opportunity to practice self-love and believe in yourself. You're worthy to be loved appropriately, correctly, and without toxicity. The best thing to do if you think you are in a karmic relationship and it has turned toxic is to realize you deserve to be happy and focus on your relationship with self. Hello, I just said that. Yes? As such, self-love is very important, self-empowerment. Some may go to the church, some may seek a medium, a psychic, a reader, a seer, energetic healer, Reiki, or past life specialist to learn more about the karma that they've been working with in order to gain balance and clarity. So what's the difference between karmic relationships, soulmates, and twin flames? Perhaps now you have a better sense of whether you're dealing with a karmic relationship versus a soulmate or a twin flame. But if you're still wondering, karmic relationships are about growth, where soulmates and twin flames are about healing. A soulmate is a person and people who are aligned to your soul and can change or influence your soul in so many profound ways. Come on, soul-driven, soul-intended. They can be friends, okay? Let me repeat that shit, por repertorio. A soulmate can be friends. A soulmate doesn't just have to be a lover, a romantic partnership, etc., etc., and so on and so forth. So again, a soulmate can be friends, family members, even pets. Animals have souls too, big. Twin flames, known as twin souls, are literally the other half of your soul. In the podcast episode when we spoke about twin flames, and we talked about as the soul ascends, it splits off into two, literally becoming two halves of one soul. That is what is said to be a twin flame connection. And it always has a divine union with a divine purpose, yes? But no matter what you call it, it does help to understand patterns in any relationship, especially toxic ones. Knowing if you're in a karmic relationship can help you move forward and work through whatever lesson is presenting itself through that person at that time. So when you do move forward, you'll truly be ready for divine love that lasts and is not toxic in nature. Yes? All right. I believe the most important thing to know about karmic relationships is that you, your soul, is chosen to learn this lesson for its advancement toward knowing, enlightenment, and understanding. Although the lesson you learn in your karmic relationships or relationship may be difficult, and it may cause you great pain in the short term, it develops your soul and moves you toward greater peace. But you must also remember that your soul provides karmic experiences for others that you may be unaware of. And sometimes you receive the lesson, and sometimes you give the soul lesson.
So you may ask yourself, how do I, or what is the best way to walk away? Walking away from an unhealthy relationship can be difficult, and most times it is difficult, especially if you're leaving because the partnership is abusive, codependent, or just isn't serving you anymore. And ending a relationship, especially a karmic one, is far from easy. Significant strength is required to break away from the kind of intense connection that exists in the victim, victimizer, and codependent dynamic. Even though such cycles are destructive, the partners feel comfortable due to growing up with a distorted definition of love and self-value. Because of this, support is a vital factor in making the transition. The best way to move on from these kinds of situations is to recognize the lesson from it. Focus on you, your self-worth, and your self-respect, and your self-love. You are worthy to be loved in the best possible way. It doesn't have to include toxicity. No matter what people say, I know the old school used to say it back in the day, especially with little girls, if he hits you, that means he likes you. And I recently on my social media told parents to, you know, especially if they, I hope they don't do it these days, but don't tell your child that if he hits you, he likes you, because in the back of their mind, they're going to keep that in the back of their mind. And then to a teen or adulthood, they equate that. If he hits you, he loves you. Stop that bullshit. It's ridiculous. Don't even instill that in your kids. And again, I know that was more so of an old school thing, but if y'all doing it today, don't do that shit. Okay? Just don't do it. That shit ain't cute. Okay? So if your relationship doesn't seem to prosper without you at your best self, you should act on it. Okay? If your relationship doesn't seem to prosper without you at your best self, you should act on it. Remember, these relationships are born out of conflict and will most likely end in conflict. They're toxic and unhealthy. Allow yourself time to be alone and grow from the experience. If you rush too quickly into another romance, which many of us do, I've done, what do we call it, rebound love affair, you know, I've done it in the past, you know, it doesn't behoove you in the long run to do shit like that. Me personally, now I've been eight years. Intentionally, yeah, I may have dated a little bit in betwixt and in between, but ultimately I didn't commit to anyone because it wasn't the right fit. And plus I knew I needed time to heal from my previous relationships. I went from a 6.5 year relationship, commingled within that 6.5 relationship with someone else, and ended up leaving that long-term relationship, jumping into another relationship, went right into a full-time relationship. That's a story for another podcast. And then stayed in that relationship for another maybe 5.5 years. Went into a rebound relationship that ended after several months. Then shortly after that, I moved to Atlanta, and within 2 or 3 months, I jumped into another relationship that lasted about five and a half years, and that was very toxic as well. Like, that shit is not cool. You need time to heal. You dig? You need time to heal. So again, allow yourself time to be alone and to grow from the experience. If you rush too quickly into another romance, you'll likely fall into the same karmic patterns, that same cycle again. You failed the test, bitch, repeat the cycle. Yes? Yes. When you cut the cord and learn your lesson, you break free from the karmic bond forever. You graduate on to the next level. You go to college, new beginnings. Yeah? The good news is you've already experienced the hardships of the relationship, and now it's time to learn from your mistakes. Try not to draw this from a place of anger or blame, but instead take full responsibility, accountability for your actions and your role in the relationship to restore balance in your life. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's all about accountability. And as I was telling someone earlier, balance, you know what I'm saying? Knowing your worth, self-love, self-empowerment. When you are in a true of self, a place of self-love and self-empowerment and knowing your worth, there's certain shit you're not going to take that you may have once allowed previously. You know, I can say that for sure for myself. When I was in a place of not loving myself and disempowered, I stayed in situations that did not behoove me because I didn't feel worthy. Now that I love myself, I can look myself in the mirror and I know that I'm worthy. I'm not tolerating or I'm not accepting any bullshit when it comes to aligning myself in a relationship with somebody, especially romantically. Yes, yes. So here are some tips for a healthy communication. Creating a safe space for honest conversation is a critical component of a healthy relationship. Incidentally, I have a online course on healthy relationships. Healthy communication is both positive and assertive. It doesn't only consist of effectively speaking on your emotions, but actively and effectively listening, not hearing, and not listening. Listening, not hearing. Hearing is you hear what the person is saying, but you're not listening, because as you're hearing what they're saying, in your head, you're thinking of rebuttals to what's being said instead of actually taking in what the counterpart is saying and processing their words and their emotions behind what they're saying, actively listening and not just hearing. So again, healthy communication is both positive and assertive. It expresses personal experience, desires, wishes, and concerns. Effective communication focuses on positive changes and outcomes instead of negative expressions that use judgment, criticism, and blame. And even behind that, if you bring up a negative in a conversation, at least back the negative with a positive resolution or idea for a resolution. Just don't focus on the negative. Well, babe, we barely talk anymore. We barely talk, babe. I feel like you don't hear me. I feel like you're not around. Don't just focus on that. Babe, I feel like we don't talk anymore. So I feel like we should designate maybe one day out of the week and maybe an evening on the weekend to where we just get together, have dinner, have lunch, have brunch or whatever, and just sit and talk and catch up with each other. Instead of just nah. Don't nobody want to be nag and complain to all the time, especially if you don't bring a resolution or an idea for a resolution to the table. Most times when you do that, you spark a conversation. Well, you know what, babe? I've been feeling the same way. You know what? That's a good idea, babe. Or, babe, that doesn't work for me. How about we try this? You know what I'm saying? Don't just focus on the negative. Add some positive up in that bitch. Make it a melting pot of contrast and clarity. The way I look at things these days, in the contrast always comes clarity, light and shadow. You know, again, it goes back to that word, balance. Balance. Come on, folk. Get with it. Okay? Healthy communication is empowering. It clearly defines the way toward and forward to expressing and conveying conviction and achieving what is desired. Hopefully that makes sense, because I have no idea what I just said. It just came off the flip of the tongue. So, I mean, it made sense in my head, so somebody gonna resonate with it out there. Yes? All right. So, part of healthy communication is the ability to recognize nonverbal cues. Okay, now that's not the gist of communication, okay? Because even though there are nonverbal cues, you still need to be able to verbalize your emotions, okay? And if you are a person that doesn't communicate well verbally, you need to take some time. Think out your emotions. Bitch, write, just get out a piece of pen and paper, write it down. Click on that notepad on your cell phone or on your tablet or on whatever and type out how you're feeling so that when you bring it to the table, it's not gibberish, okay? But that, in partnership with nonverbal cues, we often say more with our body language, but it shouldn't just be left up to body language, okay? It's important to pay attention to nonverbal cues and to read your partner's body language, but it is also important to hold each other accountable for effective communication and not just leaving it up to body language and cues, okay? Also be mindful of your own, okay? Because if you do certain gestures, sometimes it may come off in an aggressive manner that you may not even be intending to, or it may be just a slight reaction compounded by other things at the moment. But the whole gist of it is effective communication, active listening, not just hearing, active listening, and actively, effectively verbalizing your emotions. And again, if you are the type of person who can't speak well for themselves, get out that pen and paper, get out that electronic device, get to writing, get to typing, formulate your thoughts when you're in the moment. And when you all are ready to have the conversation, pull out that notepad, make bullet points, you know what I'm saying? Get your point across, but effectively, yes? Come on now, y'all. It's about building a healthy relationship. We're dealing with karmic toxic ties. Okay? So going back to what I was saying earlier, building a relationship based on healthy communication requires that each partner really listens to what the other has to say. And again, highlighting to do this effectively, you need to quiet your mind. Don't hear them, actively listen. And resist the urge, I said this earlier, to plan what you're going to say next while the other person is talking. So the bottom line is, whether it's a romantic relationship or a relationship with a friend or family member, because those can be karmic as well, experiencing a karmic connection with another person is something you'll never, never forget. In fact, the lessons you learn from these passionate yet volatile relationships are what helps propel you forward as you enter into new partnerships, new beginnings. With that said, if you're being mistreated or you're unsure of how to escape an unhealthy relationship, it's critical that you reach out and ask for help. Take accountability for your situation and don't just stand there and allow it. Talk to a trusted friend, a family member. Make an appointment with a therapist. Go to a spiritual coach. E.g., I'm available. Your soul-driven coach and creator, host, coach, and creator of all things soul-driven, soul-intended, and spiritually logic. You can always hit my website, hit my email, souldrivensoulintended@gmail.com. Request your session, your coaching session. I got you. Yes, that's a plug. And no, it ain't free. But it's sound, it's spiritually led and guided advice. Okay? There's always help out there. You don't have to stay stuck. Okay? You don't have to stay stuck. Remember that. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. The Spiritually Logic Podcast episode. As always, if you want to go ahead and show your financial support, you can go ahead and click on the link below. It'll take you to the payment tab. where you will input your credit or debit card information. On a monthly basis, you will select either 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99, which will be taken from that account, the card that you entered, on a monthly basis on the date that you select. Or if you want to send in one-time donations, you can add Bryce Bryson for Cash App, Bryce Bryson for Venmo, at SoulDrivenSoulIntended.com for PayPal. Okay, get into it. If you want to leave a message of support or give ideas for the next Spiritually Logic episode, go ahead and click that message link. It'll give you what you need, okay? Be right back at you. Spiritually Logic. Okay, so now we got into some descriptives of what it means to have karmic ties or be involved in a karmic relationship. So now we're going to go ahead and get into divine connections, divine partnerships, okay? Divine partners share a deep spiritual connection. Most people refer to their divine partner as their soulmate or twin flame. Regardless of the type of soul connection you have, your divine partner raises your vibration to help you achieve your highest good, as opposed to the karmic, which is learning a lesson. Okay? Your divine partner is the one who shares a similar life path and divine timing as you. Both of you wanting to achieve spiritual evolution is a testament to your deep spiritual connection. Other signs include your energies vibrating in the same frequency, feeling a level of comfort only your divine partner can give, and building a relationship based on mutual respect, trust, and understanding. Divine partners teach each other the true meaning of divine and unconditional love. Unfortunately, having a divine partner isn't as common as most people might think. If you experience the signs of deep spiritual connection, there's a high chance that person is your divine partner. So let's get into some signs of deep spiritual connection with your divine partner. One of which is that you share the same life path. The universe operates with both fate and free will, and meeting your divine partner is a case of the former. You'll only meet your divine partner when you're doing the right thing at the right place at the right time. Because divine partners only orbit towards each other once they're both ready, it's hardly surprising for them to be walking the same life path. For example, if your current personal goal is to pursue your passion, your divine partner is most likely at the same point in their life. You have mutual desires to achieve spiritual evolution. The purpose of divine partners is to help each other in their journey towards spiritual growth and transformation. Your divine partner will help you heal and encourage you to remember the lessons you've learned from your painful past as you move on, or even, yes, karmic ties. Yeah? If you choose not to forgive and hold on to grudges, your divine partner will teach you the value of forgiveness and compassion. They'll inspire you to connect with your higher self to achieve a higher level of consciousness, as well as you'll raise each other's vibration. Divine partners share unique spiritual energy. You'll immediately recognize your divine partner because you'll feel your aura interacting with theirs. Albeit you being unaware of your divine connection with them, both of your souls know that you're bound to be together in every reincarnation. When you're in the presence of your divine partner, you'll go through an experience that will affect you emotionally and spiritually. If you notice changes in your energy flow, it's the result of your divine partner's energy opening your chakras to foster spiritual growth. And you become each other's home. Because divine partners possess a unique bond, it's natural to nurture feelings that only one can make the other feel. That includes being each other's home. With them, you'll feel the most comfortable. You'll be able to show your most genuine self. Your divine partner will make you feel safe and secured, and you'll do the same for them. They're the first person you'll think of when things go awry. There will be no feelings of shame when you share your problems because your divine partner will carry the weight of your burdens with you. And vice versa. They'll remind you that although all things change, they'll always be a constant present in your life. And you'll return that very same energy. Your relationship will be and is built on respect, trust, and understanding. All relationships must be built on mutual respect, trust, and understanding. However, with divine partners, it goes beyond that. You and your divine partner share a unique spiritual bond incomparable to your other relationships. You share an empathic connection with your divine partner. You'll feel their joy, pain, and suffering as if they're your own. No one else can understand you the way your divine partner understands you, and vice versa. Because you know everything about each other, you'll respect each other's boundaries, differences, strengths, and weaknesses. Hence, your trust and understanding of each other go a little deeper. They're not like how you imagined them to be. Most people have an idea of what kind of person their divine partner will be. The thing with divine partnerships and soul connections in general is that it's all controlled by a higher power or the universe. With this type of relationship, nothing is forced. In other words, your divine partner might not be how you picture them. You might imagine your divine partner to be as fierce as you, only for them to have a calm nature that will complement your personality. It's best to remember that the universe will give you what you need, not always what you want. The nature of divine partners is a relationship or a partnership that is a soul connection. Much like the karmic ties is a soul contract. As previously mentioned, your divine partner is someone with whom you share a deep spiritual connection, and their purpose is to raise your vibration in like and to help you achieve your highest good, and vice versa. It's significant to note that there are many different types of soul connections, including soulmate relationships, karmic relationships, as the previous segments, and twin flame relationships. Each of these have a specific purpose, and they're all different from each other. If there's a commonality among all the types of soul connection and soul contracts, it's their divine purpose. Whether it's clarity or contrast, or both. And that's to help you in your journey towards spiritual growth, spiritual evolution, expanding to higher consciousness and purpose and design. And at this point, it's crucial to emphasize that a divine partner is different from a soulmate or a twin mate. Twin flame, twin mate. Soulmates are people who are under the same soul family or soul group. Your divine partner can be your soulmate, but it isn't always the case. Again, your divine partner can be your soulmate, but it isn't always the case. And again, your divine partner can be your soulmate, but it isn't always the case. So unlike what most people think, we have more than one soulmate. I said this years ago when I said I felt like my first major relationship, at the time I felt like he was my soulmate, whereas the relationship after that, he was the love of my life, okay? Which turns out in retrospect, he was actually a karmic relationship. And I do still believe my first major relationship. I do still believe that on some level we are soulmates because we had an uncanny connection, and we can actually still tap into that to this day. Where was I going with that? Okay, so unlike what most people think, we have more than one soulmate. The truth is we meet several soulmates in our lifetime, and the relationships we build with them aren't necessarily romantic by nature. It's also significant to note that divine partners are different from twin flames. A twin flame relationship is intense and mostly painful because we deal with the other half of our soul. Okay, remember earlier in the episode I talked about, as the soul ascends, it splits into two halves, okay, of one soul. Okay, being with a twin flame is a challenge, and a relationship with them can be quite overwhelming. In a twin flame relationship, you have to face your fears and work on yourself to achieve your highest good. On the contrary, in a divine partnership, there's only peace and serenity. Instead of working on the darkest part of yourselves, you and your divine partner are supposed to bring each other comfort and unconditional love. Okay, so as previously mentioned, there are many misconceptions about the concept of divine partners, soulmates, twin flames, and the likes. Psychics who specialize in soul connections can explain the complemented concept, concept of divine partnerships. You might want to get psychic readings and help them use their extrasensory perception or ESP to acquire information about individuals and even surroundings in general. People want to find answers, and sort out their emotions and gain clarity from the contrast. Okay, if you ever want a reading, shameless plug, you can always contact me. You know, this is what Soul Driven is about. Soul Driven, Soul Intended. But this podcast, Spiritually Logic, is gaining clarity from the contrast of our experiences. Yes? Yes. I mean, it's all about growth and expansion. Okay? So, with that said, we're going to take a quick break. If you want to go ahead and support financially, you can pledge your monetary donations and your amount by clicking on the link below. Subscribe, it'll take you to the page where you will enter in your credit and debit card information. You'll choose your monthly amount between 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. You can also click on the message link that'll take you to a page where you will be able to input your comments or give ideas for episodes you would like to see or hear discussed on Spiritually Logic, brought to you by Soul Driven, Soul Intended, where I am your host, coach, and creator, all things Soul Driven, Soul Intended, Bryce Bryson. We'll get right back at you. Yep. All right, folks. So that's actually going to bring our Spiritually Logic podcast episode to a close. I was hoping to have some guests come on and discuss some of their experiences, but they currently aren't available. So guess what? That just makes for another podcast episode on the subject matter of karmic ties and divine connections. Yes? Yes. So what we're going to go ahead and do again is we're going to go ahead and put a bookmark in this episode. And then when we revisit this subject matter, I'll actually have, spirit willing, multiple guests within the next podcast episode of this subject matter to discuss some of their experiences with karmic ties and divine connections.
Okay, so I definitely look forward to that. As always, I thank and love you all for your love and your collective support of Spiritually Logic and my soul-driven, soul-intended community. Again, as always, if you want to pledge financial or monetary support, you can go ahead and click on the support tab. It'll take you to a page where you can go ahead and input your credit and debit card information. And you would select your monthly pledge amount, which can be 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 on a monthly basis on the date that you submit the payment. And as always, you can send individual donations or pledges to at Bryce Bryson for my Cash App, or Bryce Bryson for Venmo, Bryce Bryson for PayPal, or at SoulDrivenSoulIntended at gmail.com for PayPal. As always, until next time, deuces.